You sing that. We're all sitting here today due to the grace of God. Our lives are just graces of God every day.
Amen.
Everything that we have are graces of God that He has given us, a life that we have today. He's given us our salvation. He's given us our things that we have that He's blessed us with. He's given our spouses. He's given us our children. They're all graces from Him that I don't deserve. And I love that you've added that last verse. Because that's what we should do. The whole song that we've just talked about, we need to praise Him for those things. Because
yes.
He has been so gracious. He's been so merciful for a bunch of sinners. A bunch of individuals that should go to hell. That's where we belong. But by the grace, by His love, by His mercies, He gave us a way of His Son. Thank you for singing that. I had so many things going through my head already, different things that we've sang this morning, and it's just affected me in my heart, and just the song service. That hour of prayer, that last line, and I'm going to farewell, as I fly through the air, farewell to my hour of prayer. You know why? I don't need to anymore. I can skip prayer and talk straight to Him when I see Him one day. I looked at that Mount Pisgah, Pisgah's peak. I'm like, where did that really fit in? I'm trying to remember what Mount Pisgah was. That's where Moses went and sat as he looked on to the promised land. As I grow older, I climb a little higher up that mountain. I can kind of see it. One day I'll be standing on top. And I'll be gone. Flying through the air. And I think about death as just dropping this robe of flesh. Here in a minute, I'll probably drop my coat because I'm going to get hot. Like it's a no big deal. And go on. One day, I'm going to drop this flesh like it's no big deal. And go on. Well, that's been good songs this morning. I thank you all for following the Lord and singing what you have. I talked about earlier our week being here for the kind of the first time for the full week, even though I went home for a little bit and grabbed a load and came back. For most of the week, we were here in that house, and I already had some tragedy with some baby buddies, and it's been terrible, but we've been through it in every house we've been at, so it wouldn't be quite like it wasn't normal for us. But we're getting settled in, and probably Friday night going into Saturday, I don't care if I'm almost 50 years old, I kind of got a little homesick. And it sounds silly because I'm moving, probably the hard part is I'm getting pictures from our son that's moving into our house. And Saturday he started sending me pictures of my basement emptied. That's my basement. That's my dungeon. That's my little space that I have my football pictures of. There was the Three Stooges kicking footballs off heads, and the Lucas Oil Stadium was up there, and the Colts Super Bowl picture was up there, and I had another picture ready to go up of a helmet that Puzzle we put up, and one of my flags that I made. I had this thing, every wall was covered, and then one was my big TV, and my old nasty chair was there, and that was my dungeon, that was my space that I went and sat. I talked to the Lord many times. I played stupid video games a lot. I slept down there at times. That was my area. And He started sending me pictures that it cleaned out. It really affected me. And I didn't really expect it to. And I was ready to go home Thursday morning to do that. But we went and had the appointment made. And I didn't make it home. And they were ready to move in. So they moved everything out up into the living room. And something about seeing those pictures really got to me. That I wasn't home anymore. Although, I'm home. And Friday night, I guess it was, we went out. And I wanted a hose, and I wanted a nozzle, and just some things, and odds and ends. And we were walking through a couple stores, and I looked at my wife and I said, "You're all I got right now. I love all of y'all, and I know I can call upon you and you would help me anyway, but on a day-to-day basis as I walk, she's all I got." And not that it's really much different than at home. We're pretty much a pretty private people and stay in our home and kind of keep to ourselves. But we're in a foreign land from where we're used to. And as we put the Michigan license plates on, I see so much change happening. And God's told me it was coming, and I know God's going to be with me every step of the way, but the human side of me kind of got down and got a little lonely. And being the wife that she is, knew what I needed, and she said, "Get out of the house and go get going to the box handout." And I kind of went on to do some other things and found curtains and put them up, and then it was got later than I thought it was. But I came on, and she was right. Like I said, I lean on her. And after everybody left, I think I told Steve and Janice that I needed to go talk to the boss for a little bit. And I bowed down there at that altar. Me and the boss had a little talk. I'm not the first one to feel lonely. I'm not the first one to feel out of place. I'm not the first one to feel like I don't really have my friends around me anymore. In fact, that's the way I should feel. I'm going to go through a few people, and as I got studying some other things, and it just kept tearing at my heart that I feel this way for a reason, that he wants me to kind of share some things. And I'm going to share a few people that have, as I've read through them, have really kind of set me on the right track, I guess, set my mind on the right track, that it's going to happen. It happens to everyone. Even in sitting in in a chair at your house that you've been in for years, you can feel lonely. I'm going to start in the 25th chapter of Psalms, and I'm just going to read a few verses there. And this is written by somebody that you wouldn't think would be lonely, King David. I'm sure he lived in a place with lots of people around him. Servants and the people of Israel that were with him, and he could have had anybody in there and not been alone at any time with just a few words said, could have had somebody in there with him. I'm going to start in the 14th verse of the 25th chapter of Psalms. "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes were ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and I have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my afflictions and my pain, and forgive all my sins." David was in a point where he was getting low and things were happening around him, and he didn't know what to do. So what did he do? He turned to God. He looked to the Lord when he had problems. He went to, out of everybody else that he could have went and talked to, out of everything that he could have had at his fingertips to bring in to be able to help him, so many times in my life, even today when I have troubles and problems, I forget. Take it to God. I've preached it. I've talked to it many times. Everything that you got, take it to the Lord. But I don't sometimes. I don't know. I have no excuse when I know it in myself already. But when I'm feeling low and I'm feeling down and I want to get in a little pity party for myself, I take it to the Lord and he'll talk to me. And I love that this is not just some anybody on the street. This is not just a person that feels desolate. This is the King. He feels desolate. So I shouldn't feel out of sorts that I feel alone and desolate sometimes. But I should know that I've got God to turn to. And I'm going to get some of the bigger names of the Bible this morning. Not just the, again, not just the average person. I'm talking about people that were close to God already. Turn over to 1 Kings. In chapter 20. Somebody else that walked pretty close with the Lord many times. Somebody else that did what the Lord told him to do. First Kings chapter 19 and verse 10. 19 and 10. This is Elijah. They're all out to get all the prophets to kill them all. They've already killed many. I guess I'll start in verse 9. And he came thither into the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what dost thou here, Elijah? That's what God did to me on that altar yesterday. He said, what are you doing here? What's wrong with you? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek to take my life. He thinks he's alone. He's like, they're coming for me. I got nothing to do. Like, what am I going to do? I think there was something he didn't know about that were still going, but he thought he was alone. He felt alone. He was hiding in a cave, running from his life, running for his life, praying not to get killed. And he turned to God. Sometimes it takes us to get to our lowest points before we'll turn to him. That's not the way he wants it. He's ready for us to be with him all the time. We shouldn't have to hit rock bottom before we decide to look up to God. Many times think that I can handle it. I can't handle anything. I need God. I need his help. I need what he can do for me. I need the touch of his spirit as I move forward in doing anything that I do. I need him. I know that. Sometimes I don't do it. I don't know if it's my personality, and I know maybe men have this more than women, but it's been taught all my life to be a man, right? To be strong, to be a protector of anybody that's weaker than I am, basically. To take care of them. And through football that I played for many years, I was an offensive lineman, my job was to protect somebody. I didn't carry the ball and run for this. I protected him as he ran. And maybe that's the reason I have, but guess what? I need protecting too. Because I'm not the biggest thing in the universe. I'm not the strongest thing that's around me. Satan's all around us. His angels are all around us. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. But he always seems to show up when I'm at my weak point. He always seems to come running in just at the time he thinks he can put that jab in to hurt me the worst. When I'm getting to that point, when I get that jab in the side and it hurts, and I don't know what to do anymore, I've always got God. And I need to remember that before I get to that lowest point that I can get to. Hey, guess what? God loves me. God wants to take care of me. God's there for me. He's got my back all along the way. I shouldn't have to be singled out and in a cave and fearing for my life before I turn to God. I'll talk about one more person, that actually a couple more, but go over to Luke chapter 5. And as I read through many things about different people and places that are going in the Bible that have been through similar type feelings or been at the low points of their life, another one popped up that I looked through and really read, and something jumped out to me more than ever. But in the fifth chapter of Luke, we're going to talk about Jesus. This is just after he healed the leper. And goes into the and heals that leper, and he tells me, you know, leprosy couldn't just be healed by anyone. It was a special that he got, that this person with leprosy was healed. And he told him to go into the priest, and they had to go and be checked and tested to make sure that they didn't have leprosy anymore. And Jesus healed him immediately. He said, "Go see him. You're okay. Trust me. Go see what they say." And people started getting amazed, and they gather around. And Jesus had people everywhere that he could have talked to. You wouldn't think he'd ever be alone, except he wanted to be. In the 15th verse of the 5th chapter, it says, "But so much the more were there a fame abroad him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." 16th verse, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." There are times when you feel lonely with everybody around you. There are times that you are the only one that's out there, feel like you're the only one working for the Lord. You're the only one trying to help move forward this or move that forward for the Lord. Sometimes the best thing to do when you feel lonely is to be alone with God. Many of you have been going here for many years. Many of you have asked many people to come to church. We handed out, how many boxes did we have yesterday? 25? 24? 24 boxes went out to people that we want to see come to church. We've seen a couple that came during Easter time that, through that work that we have, we've invited a few people that we've seen and come in contact with and talk to them about, and I'm sure you do the same. And we get our hopes up. Like, yeah, okay, maybe we'll have somebody, or we'll have a visitor come. And we get our hopes up that maybe they'll be back, and it's out of our control. But it hurts when they don't. You feel like you put all this work in and all this effort in, and what am I getting back from it? What can I say? Hey, Lord, look. What? Look. This is that. And you start feeling down, and you start feeling like, man, we're just the only thing out here, the only good that there is around. And I feel just like, oh, I just want to. What do I do? That's when, as you feel the loneliness, as we feel like we're it, time for us to get closer to God. Be alone with God and let him show you all that he has for you. We have a work in this community. Maybe we need to get out more. Maybe we need to put, we kind of talked a little bit about this week, and we were driving around that, you know, maybe we need flyers, or maybe we need to, maybe that's been done before, but maybe it's time to do it again. Put a flyer out and some of these businesses, maybe the ice cream shop across from where we're at, or the VFW, or wherever, I don't know, all the places around to put them yet, but maybe that's something we can do. What I don't want to get into the mentality of is that, well, we've exhausted everything, there's nothing we can do, and that's it. Because that's not true. We have word of mouth, and as we've already found out pretty quickly, we've already talked to a couple of people that we probably would never talk to on the street. We just happened to meet him. We talked to people at the hotel when we were there, and then the well, I'm still gonna call it the B&B. I don't know what else to call it. But you know, you see people, and then you gotta keep pushing on. Don't get down. Don't think that you know there's nothing else out there. God has a plan. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school also. We don't know what God has in store. What we do know is what we can do. I am very happy and love seeing the boxes work that we have. But I bet we can do something else. I bet we can make a couple more. I don't know. There's something we that's something we need to talk about as a church. What else maybe can we do to get it out? Not that we're trying to get people in for us. We're trying to get people in for God. Yeah. Spread the word. Plant the seeds and let God water it. But as I see that Jesus from time to time, I think we even talked about it last week, when before he went out and walked on the water, what did he do? He went up into the mountain and was alone. After this, he had all the multitudes around him. He wanted to be alone. He didn't just sit in a space with nothing. I believe he went to talk to the Father. He wanted to make sure that he was on what the Father wanted and that he was about his business. Let's talk to the Father. We're not alone. We know, I believe there's probably quite a few saved individuals out there that we have known nothing about. They may be in a church that we don't quite talk to very much. But I believe they're out there. I don't know about that the man we talked to yesterday, but he talks some good stuff. Now, talk is talk. You never know. Some people will tell you, oh yeah, I'm saved. I know the Lord. And they got their salvation from raising their hand. That's not what the Bible teaches salvation is. So we have to be very careful as we talk to them, but we need to be ready to work for the Lord. I'm going to go one more place. This is kind of out of order from what I thought I was going to do, but Philippians 3. Where'd it go? 8. Verse 8. Philippians 3 and 8. Paul, as he went around to different places, had given up basically everything. And his journey to be where he was at was very different from most of the people that were trying to serve the Lord, and that he came from somebody that was persecuting the Lord and persecuting the church. Very different. But what we see he has done is gotten rid of everything. In the 8th verse of Philippians chapter 3, yea, doubtless I count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but I count them but dung that I may win Christ. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stop there for just a second. Paul hit it on the head right there. You can lose everything that you got. It means nothing if it's going to keep you from winning Christ. And it's a win. Sometimes I don't like to say it that way. But you think about winning something, that's something that you want. Now you've got it. Maybe you've earned it. Maybe you, sometimes you win it and you don't do anything. But I won Christ by going down and sitting at a little altar and pouring my heart out and begging him to save me. And then believing that he would. I won Christ. I won something that I, the best lottery ticket you could ever buy. I won eternal salvation. I won a life in heaven. I won the chance to be with him once I pass. Once I drop this robe of flesh, I get to be with him. And the 9th verse says, I found him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He gave it all up. I think he was the evangelist of all evangelists, out moving around, spreading the word. He didn't care that it's all gone. He doesn't have a righteousness of his own, but he's putting it out there right now. It's all God in Christ that gave it to him, and then he is going to take it by the faith of God and take it on to other people. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made comfortable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. You want to talk about lonely? I think about Paul running around through all the different places he went. And I think we could kind of see maybe his loneliness by the letters he wrote. He was going above and beyond and keeping working. And as he was thrown into prisons, you can feel pretty lonely in a prison. Like, well, I can't do anything for the Lord in here. I think there's some books of the Bible that would say that's not true, because Paul has put some pretty good works out that I've found very helpful in my life, and bringing God to me and learning and my knowledge and from books that he wrote while he was sitting in a prison cell. Don't think just because whatever it may be that holds you back that maybe used to not, maybe you can't get out as much. My mom was in a wheelchair and couldn't get out a lot, but you know what? I felt a lot of prayer. As I stood in the pulpit sometimes and mom couldn't go, I know my mama was praying for me. And that's the wonderful thing about the Lord. We've always got prayer. That's the wonderful thing that he set up for us, that we can always talk to him. If I'm laying flat on my back in a bed, I can talk to the Lord. I can ask prayers. I can pray for him. I can pray for people. I can, just from sitting in a chair, I can put prayers out. God has given us so many avenues to work for him. And we get to a point, just like I did, I think, that we feel alone. We feel lonely. We feel like, when we got this few people here, this is it. God's got more for us out there. We need to get alone with him. We need to listen to what he says. That's another part that's not the easiest for me to do. Sometimes I don't take what God tells me to do as, oh, really, God? Is that really what you want me to do? Let's keep talking. Maybe we can come back to that. You know, this is when God gives you something to do, do it. God gives you somebody to talk to, talk to. Somebody you know that should be in church and you want to see him back, send him a little text. I guarantee your grandchildren have a phone. If they are of age and they are lost, I know they have phones. Send them a text. And it doesn't have to be a big, long text that goes on and on and on. Just, I'd love to see you in church today. And they may blow it off. They may blow you off for a year or 2 years. You never know what God's working in the little things that God may have you to do. We have a big God. As I sat there last night in my chair, I fell asleep. And I woke up pretty early this morning, and he just kept that on my heart and my mind as I was kind of having a pity party with myself of where I was at and what I was going through. God said to me, "Who do you think you are?" Other people have been through this. Other people from years and years have gone through this. Do what I tell you to do. I've trusted God in my life for so many things. He has blessed me with so many things. Why wouldn't I trust him now? You may have a doctor or a dentist or something that you trust. You go to them. They've taken care of me. I'm kind of worried about that. I really hate leaving my doctors. I've gotten a good set of doctors. Some are nationally renowned. But they've taken care of me. And I enjoy them. And I like the way they do this and that. I like the way that they handle me in bedside manner. And so I trust them. They tell me to take this medication, I take it. God's the great physician.
Amen.
He gives me something to take, I better take it. And it may not taste great. It may be some NyQuil that you have to take, that green stuff that just makes you shake all over when you take it. But guess what? It's good for me. It takes care of that cold. It'll clear me up. Guess what? God can clear up anything. God has been more than good to me. And that's why I want to do what I can. I want to see others. Not for me, that he's been good to me and I won't even keep being good to me. I want to see other people see it too. I want to see others come in and go, wow, this is different. I want to see others be able to come in and come up to me and say, you know what, I found God last night on my couch as we were praying. I long to see God work. There's nothing like seeing the power of God come across a church, a people, and see what he can do. And I don't want to sound arrogant, but it's us. We are the ones. We are the ones here right now in this time. Do we want to see more here? We sure do. That means we have to invite them. We have to put something out there to let them know we're here. So I ask, we pray about that. What can we do? I don't know yet. I don't know what's around. Let's think about, I hate to call it promoting. This isn't a business. This isn't a product we're trying to put out or something we're trying to scam somebody with. But if they don't know we're here, they don't know we're here. So let's pray about it. Really think about what we can do to get Faith Missionary Baptist Church out there. Many people don't know we're here. Like we talked to that person at the license branch, and they didn't know we were here. They're from around here somewhere close. So I don't know. We'll talk about it and see what we can do. But let's don't feel lonely. Let's feel like we've got God behind us. We can never be alone. Anything on anybody's heart this morning?